Hello and welcome to Databook. I am Jack Murtha.
And I'm Tom Castles. Today we're talking about fire, as in F-H-I-R fire, and how it's spreading like...
wildfire?
Yeah, maybe, kind of, but that's too easy. Let's just cut that out now.
Consider it stopped. So here's the deal. This week, our team spoke with a fella named Chuck Jaffe. He is the CEO of Health Level 7 International, or as you probably know it, HL7. This group might just be the foremost standard bearer for interoperability in healthcare. And Chuck told us a bit about the latest developments in HL7's development of FHIR.
And of course, again, that's F-H-I-R FHIR. FHIR as in the Fast Healthcare Interoperability Resources Draft Standard. HL7's been working on this so that millions of patient records can finally start to be connected in more meaningful ways than they are right now. And Jaffe told us about how that's working out and what's left to be done. It was a really good conversation, and thanks to our senior editor and producer, Seth Augenstein, for taking control of it.
So before we get into this episode, please keep this in mind. This is an Inside Digital Health podcast, and you can find us online at idigitalhealth.com. That's idigitalhealth.com. And of course, we are on all sorts of social media.
Be sure to reach out and find us, and while you're at it, like, rate, and review us. We really appreciate it.
And there's one more thing, Tom.
Yeah, Jack and I want to tell you about an event that's coming up in late September. It's called the InterSystems Healthcare Leadership Conference. It's a premier event exclusively for senior executives from healthcare provider, payer, government, medtech, and life sciences organizations. So this conference is all about offering up the opportunity to gather in a really collegial environment with your peers, industry experts, and of course the InterSystems leaders who want to explore the role of information technology in a rapidly changing industry. You know, Jack and I are going to be there. There's also going to be some really amazing people there. And, you know, the party's only as good as who you invite.
But folks, this conference in Boston. For more information, check out InterSystems.com. So what is FHIR? It was first published as a draft standard back in early 2014. Since then, HL7 has really rounded out a lot of the previous versions, whether they were 2 or 3 or even other programs related to FHIR. Together, all of these evolving standards have kind of chipped away bit by bit at the barriers to data linkages. Nowadays, FHIR is seen as a breakthrough in some ways, especially in terms of how it takes advantage of web-based API tools. But the bottom line is this. FHIR is meant to bridge the information gap between legacy healthcare systems, healthcare providers, and all sorts of patients using various devices.
All of this is intended to be more open and accessible than what has come beforehand.
And over 5 years, it's been working. Here's Chuck.
In the world, most data is exchanged on some version of HL7 V2. That's not going to go away if it's working. There are other HL7 standards that have been utilized for a decade and a half or more. In some countries or some jurisdictions, version 3. Most of the world leverages the capabilities of documents in our document-centric standard, CDA, or that is identified in regulation. And that'll be part of the U.S. landscape for a long time. As FHIR begins to evolve, we'll see the unique capabilities of FHIR for defining individual data elements and bringing them to bear in the point that care is being defined or decisions are being made.
This week on Databook, we take the temperature of FHIR.
Let's go back to the start, way back in 1987. That is when HL7 started to come together. It began pushing better data sharing and connectivity, all to set standards for exchanging data between hospital information systems. The name itself, that Level 7, refers to the application layer of the ISO-OSI reference model. So everything beneath that seventh layer is merely a tool to make the work that the applications do possible.
And the organization and its abilities have grown quite a bit in the decades since. The nonprofit's membership now includes folks from more than 50 countries and 500-plus corporate entities. We're talking about providers, pharmaceutical companies, payers, and even the government.
So the most recognizable face of HL7 would probably be Chuck Jaffe. And yeah, sure, he is the CEO, but he's also really the global ambassador for the organization, showing up at all sorts of conferences, so on and so forth. So before he got to HL7, Chuck was a digital health exec at Intel. He was a VP of life sciences at SAIC. And he was the director of medical informatics at AstraZeneca. And that's just to name a few. Between consulting and working as the principal investigator on more than 200 clinical trials, Chuck has also served as a contributing editor on a bunch of academic journals. Overall, it's been 37 very successful years in health IT.
And now Jaffe is overseeing a series of fire breakthroughs at HL7. The group announced its accelerator program back in February of this year. That's an attempt to catalyze interoperability across the board. Some of the projects within Accelerator include Argonaut. It's focused on provider-to-provider and provider-to-patient information. DaVinci, which is payer-to-provider. And the Karen Alliance, which is payer-to-patient.
So last month, HL7 unveiled its latest endeavor, the Gravity Project. This is all about social determinants of health. The big idea is that HL7 is pushing to add factors like food, housing, and transportation to the list of standardized medical codes within the EHR. They're kind of hoping that this will make a real critical addition to the standards efforts, but it is a major undertaking.
The consortium, which is now called Gravity, has evolved into a very large collaborative of over 300 organizations. They each have specific endpoints in mind, but they're cooperating to produce a structured set of data elements so that social determinants can be integrated into the workflow, knowledge base, and decision-making of a clinical encounter. The critical steps are very labor-intensive, but because they have such a large contingent of developers, I'm optimistic that by this time next year, they will have a significant number of these that have been well evaluated, so that they can begin to apply them to the clinical models for which they are intended. I believe at that point, it's their aspiration to transform some of the modeling expertise into fire-based applications, or at least fire framework.
Of course, here on Databook and at Inside Digital Health, we have continued to document how there's just no magic bullet for interoperability.
There is no special elixir to fix what ails healthcare information sharing.
Because it's not the technological hurdles, it's the policy hurdles. Everyone needs to be on the same page to make everything interchangeable and shareable.
Until then, the policy always trumps technology, and we'll find that regulation, inertia, and other concerns will continue to be a barrier toward true interoperable data exchange. The key that is so important in our community is being able to understand what the words and concepts mean. And that development is accelerating in parallel to the data exchange environment in which FHIR is now expanding its use and capabilities.
Most often, it's not merely the policies, it's really kind of the understanding of the health condition itself. So consider this, right? Terms like heart disease or high blood pressure, they have a bunch of designations and definitions, and it all really kind of depends on who you are talking to. So translating these terms into digital, binary, simple ones and zeros, it's just not as easy as flipping a switch or even a series of switches.
It's all complicated by what Chuck calls the befuddlement of vocabulary.
There are terms that we still have a rather ambiguous notion when we come to use them, when we come to share them amongst clinicians and certainly patients. The concept of what we mean by a heart attack or a stroke aren't the same to all physicians, much less all patients. We have tremendous barriers to the use of terminology amongst clinicians. When amongst the many criteria for evaluating arthritis, can you say a patient has a given condition? But when we communicate with patients, we have the befuddlement of vocabulary, and we use terms like blood thinner, in which the anticoagulant actually never thin blood. They reduce clotting, and until we convince ourselves that the patients can understand those concepts, our journey won't be any easier. Part of the success in the clinical environment is the increased focus on the conceptualization of terms and terminologies. We still need to bring the clinical communities together so that there is a mutual understanding what we mean by simple concepts such as blood pressure. As obvious as it may seem, the notion is quite different when you speak about the needs of an interventional cardiologist as compared to a primary care physician.
And there are also the barriers even within groups, especially the biggest ones.
One of the exciting parts about FHIR, however, is that the uses go far beyond exchanging clinical data between entities. There are a number of really important challenges in which FHIR has been used to solve problems because it performs a function of a model to be leveraged for analytics or machine learning rather than FHIR as an exchange standard. It's FHIR as an information model. And I think a number of organizations are using far more advanced paradigms as they realize the power of FHIR to solve the kinds of problems that we face. I think, for example, the ability to exchange more than a single record from a single patient to a single provider, which we call bulk data on FHIR, this will empower many innovative approaches to using the FHIR platform for large-scale analysis data integration, population health, and so forth.
FHIR could be a Rosetta Stone of sorts. You know, this tool to get everyone on the same page.
One of the exciting parts about FHIR, however, is that the uses go far beyond exchanging clinical data between entities. There are a number of really important challenges in which FHIR has been used to solve problems because it performs a function of a model to be leveraged for analytics or machine learning rather than FHIR as an exchange standard. It's FHIR as an information model. And I think a number of organizations are using far more advanced paradigms as they realize the power of FHIR to solve the kinds of problems that we face. I think, for example, the ability to exchange more than a single record from a single patient to a single provider, which we call bulk data on FHIR. This will empower many innovative approaches to using the FHIR platform for large-scale analysis, data integration, population health, and so forth.
FHIR and its accelerator program have really kind of increased in prominence and spread. And now we're at the point where interoperability, you know, an often very nebulous concept, is actually a conceivable goal.
Organizations and health systems around the world have leveraged the FHIR platform. Until it drives interoperability, I suspect that the mass of institutions and entities that have enabled FHIR will have to grow. Once that mass has been achieved, I think the ability to reduce the barriers to interoperability will accelerate.
Looking to the future, FHIR is expected to continue on this same mission and path. It's ultimately a step forward in the evolution of healthcare technology, and FHIR may well have really far-reaching effects as the best and brightest use it to their advantage.
Like all other emerging technologies, there will be individuals or groups that leverage the capability of FHIR, the concepts, the platform to do far more ambitious things than we ever could imagine. FHIR is not the ultimate solution, and someday FHIR will be replaced with a kind of technology that many of us have yet to imagine. For the foreseeable future, however, FHIR is making an enormous impact both in the fields of patient care and research, in population health and data science, in ways that are still emerging.
So the HL7 work continues, and it is a serious team effort. More than 500 experts have worked on the Gravity Project since 2017, and the rest of this year will be devoted to developing standards and terminologies. Next year will be about developing the FHIR implementation guide that will actually allow the exchange of the data. Walter G. Suarez is the Executive Director of Health IT Strategy and Policy for Kaiser Permanente, and he's also the Chair-Elect of HL7. Here is what he recently told Inside Digital Health's editorial team. This is sort of the ultimate step in terms of achieving interoperability when it comes to social determinants of health, and that is about Gravity Project.
Now, it's a lot to keep track of with so many voices and helping hands, but we are going to keep on top of it all with each new episode.
So until then, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, online at iDigitalHealth. And until next time, I'm Jack Murtha.
And I'm Tom Kessler.
And this is Databook.